Welcome to the Gut Goddess Show. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, and in this podcast, what I do is show you how you can create one healthier, flatter, and more joyful belly and life. So let's get this party started. So this is episode one of the Gut Goddess Show. And what I'm going to do in kicking off this whole exciting podcast adventure is really start at the very beginning, because it's a very good place to start according to Sound of Music. And today's episode is going to be called Sad, Sick and Stuck on the Loo. And it's really going to be a bit of a deep dive into my own health journey and some of the key lessons and actions and principles that you can take away from it when it comes to your own health journey, your own relationship with food, your own relationship with your body and all of that sort of stuff. Because I have definitely had a journey of learning to ditch the dieting, learning to love my body, but also learning to literally heal it. It felt broken at many points in my life, and I've had to take time to discover what's going on, why it's going on, and what do I need to give my body in order for it to thrive. And so that's really what I'm going to dive deep into today. But before we begin, I want to let you know that I'm offering until I think it's the 23rd of February, so just for a short limited time only, some super special mini sessions with me. These are called the Flat Belly Solution sessions, and they are mini sessions with me where I'm going to go through three really, really important things. I'm going to help you uncover your root cause, which we're going to talk about today, suggest any supplementation that may or may not be useful, and also talk about what is the one action you can take to supercharge your health. So if you're looking to create a happier and flatter belly, and you want a normal relationship with food, and you really want to create that effortlessly healthy life, then head to supernaturallyhealthy.org/bye-bye. So B-Y-E-B-Y-E. And I'll put the links in the post as well. And as this is the very first inaugural, is that the right word? I don't know. This is the problem when you're talking to yourself. Episode is I'm gonna do a special giveaway. I wanna hear from you and get your reviews. So if you on your phone, if you go to the podcast app and you search for the Gut Goddess podcast in the little search section, click on that, you'll then see a button that says review. So I would love it if you took a couple of minutes to give me a review of these next couple of episodes, or if you've heard my stuff before and you like it, it would mean so much. It means this podcast can get to more people who need to hear it. And it also gives me feedback. So let me know. Give me your honest review. Let me know what would be helpful and what would not. And the first 10 people that I get a review from, I'm going to be chasing you up and sending you something really exciting in the post, because I love getting stuff in the post. I send my one-to-one clients little presents all the time, because nothing better than getting post that isn't bills or, you know, farm food leaflets. So if that is you, I'd love it if you left me a review. So let's get started on this podcast with the topic of today. And that's really going to be my journey. And I really want to share this with you, not because I love talking about myself necessarily, but because I know there's some really powerful things in the stuff that I've walked through, learned, processed, and it's just completely shaped how I now work with clients and my entire nutrition practice and my entire business at Supernaturally Healthy. And it's been a real blend of different things I've had to learn. You know, over the years, I've realized that nutrition is really important. You know, what we eat is so important, but it's not everything. You know, that self-care plays a role, that what we say and speak about our bodies plays a role. And there's so many different aspects. So what I'm going to do is just share a quick kind of run through of my story with you. I'm going to be super honest. I really value vulnerability. So I'm going to be honest with you about symptoms and all of that sort of stuff. And then I'm going to share with you some of the kind of key things that I did and the key points that you can take away from this. And if you're new to this podcast, then this is really just a way of getting to know each other. I love podcasts. And the reason I wanted to start this one was that I love kind of how it feels like, you know, you're hanging out with a friend. And that's really what I'm looking to build, is that people, that I get to know people and you feel like you get to know me. So I'll go first. So if we think about and go back to the very beginning, as a child, I am the youngest of four. So I have three older siblings. We were all born quite close together. My mum, honestly, she's like a total hero. She had like four children under five. Honestly, I mean, hats off to her. She's amazing. So I grew up in a really happy household. Always lots of fun and creativity and joy and chaos. You know, typical house of four young kids. But I always remember being quite sick. So I remember, especially in my tummy. So I remember from being quite a young age, as soon as I got to school, I would have a funny tummy very regularly. At the time, put this down to a lot of anxiety. So I was highly anxious, actually, as a child. I'm a very sensitive person. And, you know, that starts from when you're born. So I was highly anxious and had a lot of tummy issues. We went to the doctors quite a lot. I was always getting a lot of infections. So by the time I was probably like 6 or 7, I was getting tonsillitis probably 3 or 4 or 5 times a year, as well as ear infections, those kinds of things. So I was always off at the doctor, always on banana flavored antibiotics. Also, my stomach would be a problem probably every week in terms of feeling sick. And this kind of just progressed. I ended up, you know, my parents investigated it. I ended up speaking to consultants at hospitals, you know, all of that kind of jazz. No one really knew what to do with me. It wasn't too serious, you know. I wasn't dying, but I was really, really struggling with my stomach. And then as I grew older, and became kind of early teenage years, I hit puberty quite early, probably about 10, got my period probably about then as well. And the problems just continued. I was also being bullied at the time, which doesn't help anything at all. And I was probably about 2 or 3 stone overweight. So I was probably from about age 8 or 9 onwards to about 11 or 12, I was overweight. At the time, people said it was puppy fat and I'd grow out of it. But by the time I'd kind of hit puberty and all of that sort of stuff, and I was still 2.5 stone heavier than what I wanted to be. And I was overweight officially on the little charts. Every time I went to the doctors, they would remind me of that. And as well as my stomach problems, my anxiety, all kind of going through the roof. So by the time I hit teenage years, I'd begun my first diet. So I started dieting when I was 11. My mum also wanted to lose weight at the time. So we joined a diet club together. And there were some really useful parts of that. We honestly, as a family at that point, did not have a clue of how to eat healthy. We really didn't. And so me and my mum went together and they taught us some useful things like eating vegetables is a good idea. Mars bars aren't a good snack to have after school necessarily. Maybe eat things like yogurts instead of chocolate bars, you know, basic things like that. So from about age 11 onwards, I was on this kind of diet, counting all my different points and sins, getting weighed publicly every week. And I did lose some of the weight, but my health did really start to decrease. My anxiety increased. And by the time I was about 16, I had quite a disordered relationship with food, as you can imagine, because I started dieting at 11 and was very aware of my weight from about age 8 onwards. I was bullied for being fat, so I was very aware of my body and the judgments people made on it. So by age 16, no surprises, my relationship with food was super weird and messy and noisy. It just felt like so much noise around food in my head. By that point, I'd also had my stomach problems had gotten worse. So I was also having diarrhea pretty much every day by this point. And as I got a bit older, kind of pre-uni, it became chronic diarrhea of every single day. As well as stomach pains, bloating, depression. My anxiety was still the same. It was always very high anxiety levels. They were kind of normal, although looking back now, it's so not normal. But that was just what I was used to. I was bloated all the time. And that was roughly how I began uni. There was a bunch of different life circumstances that happened as well that were really stressful and really hard. So that all added to the pot. So by the time I hit uni, again, I found aspects of that a real struggle. So I ended up being diagnosed depressed probably in my second year and was depressed probably for about 2.5 years. And by this point, my hormones were super weird. They'd never been great, to be honest, but my periods started to disappear and then reappear and then be really painful. I started to get things like thrush. Obviously, I got my depression. My bloating was just a daily thing. Diarrhea was daily, to the point, you know, I know we can talk about bowels and be like, oh, whatever, I had diarrhea, but like it was to the point where I carried spare pants with me around in my bag to uni. Anywhere I went, I would carry a spare pair of pants in my bag just in case I needed them because an accident happened. And that's like at age like 19. And I was so embarrassed. Even telling you now, it feels a bit embarrassing. Because I don't know, it's just a cultural thing that we have. So I literally didn't tell anyone about it, about any of my health issues, apart from maybe the depression, because I had the common sense to discuss suicidal thoughts with doctors at the time. Not that suicidal thoughts are funny, but for some reason I had sense that I should probably talk to someone about that. And but all the other stuff, I was way too embarrassed to chat with anyone. And it really kind of came to a turning point, probably when I was about 20, 21, when I was going to go out with my friends. We were just going to go out to the union or whatever, the student nightclub. And I was getting ready. And then my stomach set off again, but it was a really bad bout of bloating, pain, toilet issues, to the point where I just had to sit in the bath because it was so painful. And I just thought, do I need to live with this for the rest of my life? Is this my normal? Is this my life? You know, and I had lots of aspirations and dreams of what I wanted to do. I wanted to travel more, go to places like Cambodia and Thailand and India and South Africa. I wanted to work. I wanted to make art. I wanted to just live the life that I wanted to live. But I felt so embarrassed and kind of really trapped and anxious about my health, that even going to new places would make me feel funny. So that was really when I kind of hit my turning point. And that was really kick-started the path where I really started to take responsibility for my health. That's really what it came down to. And that's often what it comes down to. When clients come to work with me, they've often gotten to the point where they've gone, Kezia, you know, I'm willing to take responsibility for my health. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to use my genetics as an excuse. I'm not going to use my finances, my partner, my children, my busyness as an excuse. I am ready to take responsibility and I'm ready to make this a priority because I'm important and I am a priority. And that's really what happened to me. And so what that looked like for me was really simple. I started with some really simple things, guys. I had read that maybe all my thrush might not be being helped by sugar. So I did a sugar-free thing for probably what was meant to be 3 months, but I was doing it alone and found it really hard. So it didn't last very long. But that was really a kickstart. And then I had a great doctor who I went to see who suggested that I tried being dairy-free. Because there's a lot of research around dairy and diarrhea, and they just suggested it off the cuff, and I thought, oh, okay, yeah. Mums that used to say I got eczema when I was younger, if I had too much dairy, so that could still be a problem. And I took these really small steps over time, and what I learned through this process was that nutrition and what I ate was really powerful, and that actually I had so much power over how I felt, so much power. I didn't have to feel like a big pile of crap. I actually had a choice about how I felt, and I could either build and cultivate this thing called health in my life, or I could get in its way and destroy this thing called health. It was totally down to me that I wasn't just left with, oh, well, you're just going to have a crap tummy for the rest of your life and be pooping yourself. Oh, well, deal with that. No, I could actually do something. And there's nothing more liberating than feeling like you can actually make an impact and make a change. And so I kind of wiggled my way through this whole journey. And I got times, I read too much, I got overwhelmed. And my biggest regret actually of that time, which is probably about 10 years ago now, was that I didn't get help. I am convinced now, if I had just reached into my wallet, and paid a nutritionist, paid someone I really connected with to work with me, I would have accelerated my results and it wouldn't have taken me 10 years to feel better. I wouldn't have been confused. I wouldn't have been overwhelmed. I wouldn't have been you know, giving up or just trying lots of random stuff that was a waste of time because it's not what my body needed. So that's my probably one regret really when it comes to looking back on my health journey. But what I did then sort of in my 20s and early 20s is I just literally took one step at a time. I ditched dairy and realized, oh, I feel a lot better. This is interesting. So I was dairy free for about 7 years. Then I experimented with being wheat free to begin with. And I experimented with things like fermented foods. So making kefir, some sourdough bread, although that's not really fermented foods, but the process involves fermented foods, and some sauerkraut. And then by the time I was about 24, 25, I was really ready to take my health to the next level. I was still finding I was really bloated. My poos still weren't great. My hormones were still really uncomfortable. I'd made a lot of progress. Like, you know, I was no longer depressed. I generally felt better, but I didn't feel amazing. I really, really didn't. And so that was when I began something called the Gut and Psychology Syndrome Diet, which is created by Dr. Natasha Campbell-McBride, otherwise known as GAPS. And I began a kind of year and a half journey of doing that. And that, I think, was a real turning point for me from health-wise. Not because GAPS actually made a huge difference to my health, to be honest. I think ditching grains was really helpful. And eating lots more nutrient-dense foods and a lot more fats was really helpful. But actually, it really showed me the impact that nutrition could have. And that's where I really started to think, oh, okay, I think I want to change career now. And then if we rewind to even just like last year with my health, I'd seen a lot of improvements. I'd had happy toilet habits for a really long time, you know, chronic diarrhea, well and truly a thing of the past, crazy hormones, thing of the past, thrush, thing of the past, haven't had that for years. Depression, not an issue anymore. I have to keep in check with it. I have to keep aware and keep kind of on tabs, because if I eat too much sugar, then I get that, you know, gray cloud of doom. If you've ever been depressed, can easily land itself over my life. But generally not really an issue at all. Anxiety's definitely gone down. But last year I discovered that there were still some gut health issues and probably a thyroid problem going on and issues with my adrenals. And so that, again, was just another layer of figuring out why. And actually, I really made a commitment in 2017 to get to the bottom of it and to find out why. And so last year, I invested a lot of money in private lab tests. I got a lot of things tested out and finally discovered really what the heck was going on. And it was multifaceted. There was, I think from a mental health point of view, there was probably some traumas in my brain that hadn't been fully processed. So that was, you know, constantly firing off in my mind. I had some heavy metal toxicity, really high levels of arsenic going on in my tissues. The lady I worked with suspected I had something called small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, which was probably what was going on 10 years ago, but I didn't know what it was then. And it was probably still the lingering effects of that. Had to deal with that and supporting my thyroid as well, which is a family issue, kind of hyperthyroidism. And Hashimoto's, which is an autoimmune thyroid issue, that happens. And so it has, in terms of my health journey, it has really been a whirlwind. And I have to say, in amidst the nutrition and the practical stuff, has been a huge element of learning to like, at first, myself, like my body, like my thighs, like my love handles, you know, actually say nice things about myself. And then from that liking phase to actually loving my body and practicing self-care and self-love and recognizing that any pursuit of health that we do has to come from a place of self-care and self-love. Otherwise, it's a fad and it doesn't last. You know, you can do anything for a month or 2 months. You can go vegan, you can go paleo, you can do a juice cleanse, you can do what, you know, for an amount of time. But it's never going to stick if A, you're not willing to make lifestyle changes, and B, it's not rooted in self-care and self-love. It will just fade away. It'll just be like a flower that's nice and all great and then fades. Actually, true health is when we are willing to accept that we need to make lifestyle changes. And that's what I basically learned how to do the last 10 years. My lifestyle now, I have crafted the lifestyle that I live to accommodate the weaknesses that I know I still have in my health. I've made changes to how I think, to how I shop, to how I budget, to how I make food, to how I walk around the shop, to how I look after myself, to how I schedule my diary, to how I exercise. It really, really is about making these small lifestyle shifts. It doesn't mean you have to change who you are or change what's important to you. But the people that I see, my clients and people in my community that get the best results, are people that are willing to accept that there is that responsibility we need to do. No one is responsible for your health other than you. No one. Doctors are amazing. Other medical professionals are amazing. Alternative holistic practitioners like myself are amazing. We need them all. And I talk a lot about creating your team of healthcare providers. We need a team of people often to support our health. But ultimately, you can't expect them to do anything, to take responsibility for you. That's your job, your health, your happiness, your joy, your peace. That's your job to do. And really, if you could sum up the last 10 years of my story, it's me learning that I was the boss of me and that I had to take responsibility for that. So in terms of some of the small things that I've done over time and some of the things, the key kind of changing moments for me, I think probably were, to begin with, just number one, like I said, deciding to take responsibility. Number two was, I think starting the GAPS diet was really helpful for me. It actually, I know the GAPS isn't for everyone. I don't really recommend it for every single person. But for me, it really kickstarted my journey of looking at nutrition and my gut health and why that was important and how to support it. And also, the GAPS book itself talks about committing to at least 18 months of the diet, of that particular protocol. And at the time, that completely intimidated me. I was like, 18 months, you have got to be kidding me. But I did it because I wanted to feel better. I wanted to live the life that I dreamed of. I wanted to feel good. So I committed to it. And actually, that was a real key moment for me in terms of making these lifestyle shifts. Because I'd grown up in this dieting world of being on the plan or off the plan and counting sins and points and counting calories and weighing my pasta and eating diet bread that disintegrated as soon as you spread your diet jam onto it. Because I was so indoctrinated with this dieting, get skinny, be better, do a 2-week cleanse, do a diet for the 10 weeks before your holiday and then binge on holiday. Because I was so indoctrinated in that whole way of thinking, doing something where actually I had to commit for a longer period of time was really helpful for me because it really made me just grow up and accept that I had choices and my health was based on the choices that I make every day, not the choices that I make for 2 weeks. On the choices I make every single day. So that was a really turning moment for me. And I think even last year actually was a really pivotal moment for me in terms of number three, is that I got the help I needed and I invested in the things that I needed. So I worked with another holistic nutritionist just to get an outside perspective. I started working with an acupuncturist, a psychotherapist for counseling sessions. And I also invested in private lab tests. So these are tests I offer in my one-to-one practice as well. So things like I did an organic acids test, an adrenal panel. I paid for a more in-depth thyroid panel. I did a stool test to check kind of what was going on in my gut. I did check things like vitamin D. I did a heavy metal hair mineral analysis test. I did a DNA test. This is a lot of tests. Don't worry. I don't tell my clients to do all of these tests. I was just determined to get to the root of it. And I think that's probably point number four, is that I discovered and I realized actually that what I needed to do was get to the root cause and stop dealing with symptoms, stop dealing with just, oh, I'm bloated. How do I stop bloating? Whilst that's really important, actually, I needed to ask the bigger question, which was, why am I bloated? You know, my sister and my mum aren't bloated all the time. We have similar genetics, eat similar-ish diets. Why am I bloated? And they're not. I started to ask why. Why am I more anxious than other people around me? Why do I struggle with energy and I'm super fatigued? Why do I feel like I'm chronically fatigued? What could be going on there? What is my body trying to tell me? And I think that is one of the most powerful things that we can do for our bodies. And I think those four things have been kind of the most pivotal part, really, of my journey and process. And now I would say my health is at the place where it's the best it's ever been. By the end of 2017, I was so grateful because I was starting to feel a little bit normal. Because throughout this journey, you know, has come a lot of fatigue. And I would self-diagnose as chronic fatigue, although it's never been diagnosed formally, which is fine, or a mild form of chronic fatigue. And I was starting to feel like a normal person by the end of last year, which was so amazing. But let's talk about what does this mean for you? What can you take away from this? What does this mean for your health and your journey? And I think probably one of the main things that comes up when it comes to me working with clients or potential women that maybe want to really sort out their hormones or their stomach or their IBS or their toilet habits, is actually the main thing is you've really got to decide who's in charge. And I know that's not a comfortable question or statement, actually, because taking responsibility sometimes sucks. It really does. Like, you know, we don't always want to. And I get that. Like, you know, we just want to be like carefree, blah, 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 whatever. But actually learning and willing and being willing to accept some responsibility for your health is really huge. And I would just get you just to sit on that. Do you feel like you take responsibility for your health? Or do you expect other people, other diets, other programs, other supplements, other people in your life to take responsibility and to do it for you? And I'd say that's it's a big mindset shift, but it's a really, really valuable one to make. So that's number one. Who's taking responsibility for your health right now? Number two is start small. I have a saying with my clients and in my community that small, sustainable steps are sexy. So often we want to like dive into some like juice cleanse and do something wild. And whilst that can be a really helpful strategy for some people in terms of kickstarting them into action and lifestyle change, that can be really, really helpful for most of us. If we're looking to make these lifestyle shifts, then we actually need to take these small steps, and we need to take them consistently, and we need to take them over a long period of time. I'm a big advocate. I would rather you did something, one small thing for a year, than ate a quote unquote perfect diet for a month and then thought, bugger this, I'm just going to go and eat Doritos for the next month. The best thing you can do for your health is to take small actions every day. So maybe, and I often say this to clients, is just start with one thing. You know, I began my health journey by just ditching dairy and seeing how I felt. I felt a lot better after a month or two. So then I tried one more thing. I tried another thing. I then tried maybe ditching wheat because my issues were a lot to do with digestion. And things like more recently, you know, this year I've committed to meditating, to making sure that's a regular part of my practice, and I'm doing 15 minutes a day instead of 10 minutes a day that I was doing. So these are small things. I'm not trying to start meditating and go gluten-free and train for a 10K and make probiotic food and do this new supplement regime and read this book and listen to these three podcasts all at the same time. At the moment, my focus is on some daily meditation, and the rest of my diet and my lifestyle stuff are already embedded with these really natural, effortless habits that I don't need to think about. I don't need to think about eating healthy because it's just effortless for me now. It's become embedded in my lifestyle. It's not hard. It's not a chore. I don't find it difficult. So you take one thing at a time and implement it. And I think the biggest way that women sabotage themselves is that they decide they're going to do everything overnight, and they get sucked into this all or nothing syndrome. And while there is times in our lives where we do want to kind of kickstart and we do want to do things more intensely, that's totally fine. I have periods when I do that. It's actually more important the things you do consistently than the things you do one-off and intensely. So what are the things, what's the one thing that you could consistently implement in the next couple of days? What's the one thing you could start doing? Maybe it's just having like a weekly bubble bath where the kids aren't allowed in, where you watch or read something funny, you put some Epsom salts in there, and it's a little bit of self-care. Maybe for you, you're like, oh, you know, Kezia, I think I need to ditch the dairy as well. I have bowel issues and I'm all sinusy. Just start with one thing. Honestly, this whole getting healthy and sorting and creating a happier and flatter belly is really not as complicated as we make it. It really, really isn't. And the third thing in terms of a takeaway for you would be, I'd really encourage you to be your own expert. That's a phrase my friend Laura has actually used and I love it. But be your own expert. I really would recommend you to get expert help. Sign up for one of my flat belly solution sessions. Come and work with me. Find out more over at supernaturallyhealthy.co.uk. But actually, you are the expert when it comes to your body. You know your body best. And actually, it's our job to just learn to listen. Just listen to our body. Listen to what it's saying. Listen to what it needs and give it what it needs. You don't, you know, no diet, no nutritionist, nobody out there actually can tell you about your body. You know, they can give you rough things. They can give you rough general stuff about anatomy and physiology and biochemistry, and which is already useful. So please go to your doctors. But actually, you know your body best. You know if you feel off. And actually learning to listen to your body. That's kind of what I talk to all people, all ladies that are thinking of working with me. I always say, basically what we're doing in our time together, in our one-to-one programs, is helping you to listen to your body. So learning the language of your body and then being able to interpret it and give it what it's asking for. Because your body's always telling you something. If you're bloated every night, your body's telling you something. If you're constipated, your body's telling you something. If you're depressed and anxious, your body is crying out for something. It's crying out for help. And we just haven't been taught we've not learned the language of our bodies. And when we learn the language of our bodies, then actually we can empower ourselves to live a life that is healthy. Because no matter what happens in our circumstances, no matter how stressful, peaceful, wealthy, or poor we get, we actually know how to listen to our bodies and know how to give it what it needs. So then our health and our weight isn't dependent on how stressed we are or how easy our life circumstances are. It actually remains the same because we know how to listen and to look after our bodies. So those are your kind of three takeaways from this session, is that number one is, who is taking responsibility for your health? Number two, I totally forgot what number two is. Oh yes, number two. Sorry, I had to take a moment to think. Is taking small steps. Just take these small steps. And when it comes to number three, it's about learning to listen and learning the language of your body. Taking time to learn the language of your body, which means learning what your symptoms are, what they mean, what your body is saying to you, and actually allowing your body to be the primary thing that you listen to. Not some diet, not some supplement company, not some nutritionist. Actually, that we honor what our bodies are saying and how they're communicating with us. So I hope that has been really helpful for you. And you now know a little bit about me, and I would love to hear from you. So if you have any questions or topics or anything that you want me to cover here in the podcast, feel free to head over to Instagram at Supernaturally Healthy. Direct message me there or leave a comment about a topic you'd love us to cover. Or you can email info@supernaturallyhealthy.org with any topics or questions that you have. Otherwise, make sure you go and leave a review. So that you could be up for a chance of winning an awesome prize. And head over to the link in the show notes if you want to book your free mini session with me. Otherwise, I'm going to see you super soon for another Gut Goddess podcast show. Sending you lots of love, lots and lots and lots of love. And remember to eat like you love yourself today. So, so important.